Okay. Just relax yourself. Maintain a relaxed body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. Then compose our mind. Develop the faith, sada, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. There's one more offering. Come. Just offer the sadhu. 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 Okay. Today is the 16th January 2018, Tuesday. So we are having our Tuesday class at my house, as is too. So now we will commence our puja chanting.
Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami.
Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 1. Then we shall continue with the Vandana. The Pali salutation to the Buddha, the Manda Sangha.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
สุรามิรายามัจจาภะมาดัทธานะเวรามานิสิกขาปะทังสมาธิยามิ
We are now chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes.
Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena.Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyangthang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gonopetang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami munindasaSiri pada sarorohe Puje mi buddhang kasumenanena Punena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabhavangAdivasetuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Adivasetuno bante Pale parikapitangAnukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Adivasetuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang
Okay, now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Yeah? Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then number four, significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible.Then significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana.Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have our meditation session. I will give you half an hour. We can off the light, then we can start our meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. For those who still need instruction, especially those who are still quite new, I will give you some formal instruction to train your mind, so that you can develop the initial mind state to meditate. We call this the mind sweeping method, followed by loving kindness, metta. It will bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being very fast. Then after that, you stabilize this mind state using anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then you will be able to develop the calm mind, the peaceful mind, which is relaxed, aware within. And because of the clarity of mind, your mind state will become very different. That calm state will bring forth the well-being in you, the peacefulness in you, the stillness and the tranquility. Peace is very difficult to come by for most people nowadays. If you want to settle down, bring about this inner peace, inner well-being, you should develop this meditation well. Okay, now I will give you the instruction. Just relax body and mind. Completely relax. No need to think of anything. Just tell the mind whatever that you want you to think. You say later, after the meditation, I will attend to it. For the time being, you just request for the mind to have mercy on you, so that it can allow you to have 30 minutes of space to train your mind to develop the inner peace, the inner calmness. Then you make sure you have a stable posture. If you are sitting on the floor, make sure your leg is stable. Then relax into every aspect of your physical body and your mind state. Then check your backbone, make sure it's straight. If you are sitting on an armchair or a couch or lying down, then you just have to maintain a stable posture. The spinal cord is okay. The backbone, everything can follow your curvature of whatever chair you are sitting on. But you have to maintain attentiveness. Then close your eye, breathe in, breathe out naturally, relax everything. Then move your attention to your forehead. Just feel. Don't think, just feel. If you can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Relax into every part of your forehead muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax. Silence everything and just feel and relax. Then move your attention down to your eye. All of your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye is not relaxed. So you feel like you feel your forehead.
you can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within you. Just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you continue to sweep down to your facial muscle. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel, relax them. Feel, relax them. Then in order to assist you to relax further, you have to silence everything. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy, you are happy. That's why your mind state is relaxed. That's how your facial muscle will naturally relax because of that joy, that radiant smile that you have radiated. Then you can recite loving kindness or metta to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must learn to feel the inner peace and the inner well-being in yourself. As you recite, may I, this body and mind, you feel your body and mind having this well-being. Be well and happy, which means each and every cells within your physical body, they are having this well-being and joy and happiness. You can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your physical body, each and every cells within your physical body, and feel it, the well-being and the happiness. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful. May my body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then you can repeat this same loving kindness radiation to your loved ones. May all my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them if you need to. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. And may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this loving kindness to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of SS2, including all kind of metta, fellow meditator, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can continue with our radiation of loving kindness of metta. May all beings within the entire SS2 Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, planet Earth, and all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, then extending to all beings within the entire universe existence. May they all too be well and
unhappy, well unhappy. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can just silence everything and just train yourself in anapana sati to stabilize this calm mind or peaceful mind. And you can develop until there is no more thought. Then it is called the silent mind, the meditative mind. So in order to stabilize this silent mind or calm mind that we have developed, we need to be mindful of the in and out breath. So what we can do is, instead of feeling your forehead, you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your breathing. Silence everything and just feel. The moment you can detect your breathing, allow the mind to be aware of the in and out breath. Then, like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. You have to train yourself until this one stabilizes. For those who still want to continue with the mind sweeping method, you can continue. You can come back to your facial muscle, relax every part, then sweep it down to your neck, shoulder, hand, back to neck, then move it down to your heart area. You can just relax, relax and relax and silence everything and feel your heart area. You can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat. You just stay there, maintain silence. Then this mind will settle down because it got something to anchor to. So you can be aware of your vibration or heartbeat. Be with it, just aware, aware, aware. Otherwise, you can use anapanasati. It's the same. So anapanasati, you have to train. Every time your breath go in, you are aware. Your breath go out, you are aware. That's why if you follow the instruction of the Buddha, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So this one means no need to know, silence everything and just breathe in, breathe out naturally and maintain mindfulness over the in and out breath. So when you can do that, your mind settle down very fast. You become peaceful very fast, and very fast you will experience piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, a meditative calmness born of the mind that is mindful, aware, in the state of sati or mindfulness. When the mind and the breath move as one without thought, that is sati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. When you are in sati, you don't have thought. Your mind just settle down and become very quiet. So now I will allow you to develop it on your own. Initially, if you are new, you don't worry. You will realize, split second, the mind wanders off and you are not able to be aware of the in and out breath. Never mind, if it happens, patiently bring it back to the breathing again. Maintain awareness or mindfulness. Then feel the breath. The moment you detect, start again. You can expect the mind to wander so many, many times. Some people say maybe it will exceed a million times in the course of your meditation. But no need so long. Normally, within 10 minutes or so, you should settle down.
you can, maybe you try a few sessions. Most people can get it within the first or second session. Be patient, silent, just maintain mindfulness, relax into every mind state that arises. Even when you feel calm and peaceful, just relax into it. Then your calmness, peacefulness will become more and more refined. Then from pity, it will start to experience more deeper, refined state of calmness. They call it sukha. Sukha is a blissfulness of mind. The mind is not only peaceful and calm, in a state of, they call spiritual joy or spiritual calmness or spiritual rapture. Sometimes it can, like, your mind feels so good. It's like a rupture inside there. You feel very good. Then as you continue to meditate, this rupture will slowly, slowly become very calm, very peaceful. Then it will transform into sukha. Sukha is a spiritual blissfulness of mind. A much, much more refined mind state, which is very calm, very peaceful. So if you can continue to follow your in and out breath, relax into every mind state, silent everything, then this breathing will also transform. Initially, when you are very mindful, you will experience a type of deep breath, deep breathing. Like every in-breath is very long, every out-breath too is very long. And there's a lot of clarity, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of pity and sukha coming. So you just relax into it and allow it to be. You train, you continue to train until one day everything starts to slow down, until it's very quiet, very peaceful, very still. Then during that time, the breathing also like no more breathing, like very subtle or no more breathing. Then you just silence everything and stay there, don't do anything. Not long as you are able to maintain that silence, your mind will become very different again. It will transform and become more refined, until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, your mindfulness has become very stable. It has become a part of you. Then that mind, which is very sensitive, can feel many, many things. So during that time, you silence everything and maintain mindfulness at your object of meditation, which can be your breathing. Then you can detect your subtle breathing again. Your subtle breathing like come back to you, like very clear to you. Then you can stay there without having to move your mind. That is to train the mind to have this ability to be silent, to be still without any movement. Initially, you can anchor it to your silent breathing or subtle breathing. You can stay there. Then later on, you can drop it down to your heart area. The anapanasati will actually technically or indirectly take you to your heart area too. So you just stay there, relax, silent. Be aware of your heartbeat. Follow. If you are in a state of relax and allow it to be, everything will start to slow down. The pounding of your heart. Initially, when you first detect it, it's like very loud. Then, like I said, you don't need a stethoscope to hear your own heartbeat. You can silence your mind when your mindfulness is already there, and it can detect on its own. Then everything will just slow down, and become very quiet, very still. Then you stay there to stabilize your sati and mindfulness. This is the mind that can meditate. This is the silent mind, the meditative mind, the tranquility or stillness of mind. And this mind is a free mind, not in absorption or concentration. It's just aware, silent. That's why it's sensitive. Then wherever you locate this mind, it can feel many, many things. All of your vibration within your body and mind, you can feel them. You can even go into your brain if you want to later on. Then when you silent more and more, this mind become more and more sensitive. Sensitive in the positive sense. In the sense that you are very sensitive to all the vibration, the movement, whatever activity that arise within your form and mind, you will be able to be aware. Then for those who already know how to meditate, when you reach this state, you just silence everything, don't do anything, just use it to develop the wisdom, the understanding, or they call it the meditation. Means when you maintain awareness at your mind base, whatever contact within your bodily tactile or even your other senses, upon contact, the mind can be there, and the awareness of it will be very clear, very different. Then you will understand clearly all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught you. Then you will start to understand how you function as a human being, how the form of mind manifests, then how upon contact consciousness arises, how the content of consciousness went in. Then within the content of consciousness, you have many mind states, you have feeling, then how upon contact feeling arises, then how feeling is being conditioned into craving, positive and negative, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then how craving becomes grasping. You will feel that. You will understand that. Then you can also witness the spiritual faculty arising and passing away. You can also detect the mental hindrance when they arise. Then your mind state that has the content of consciousness or greed or hatred, fear or emotional negativity, you will be aware. Then all of the other experiences that you go through, you can relate back to the teaching. But in the meditation, don't try to know, just silence everything and maintain awareness to meditate, to develop the clear understanding. The silent mind can investigate, the silent mind can observe very clearly all these dhammas and activity of mind state. Okay, I'll let you develop the meditation, then I will ring the bell after the alarm come off.
จะเงียบแล้ว
So still wants to meditate, eh? You can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out there, meditation. Eh? Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peace, and inner mindfulness that you have developed through all this meditative training. Eh? These are the mind states that you need. Eh?To use it, to live life, and to develop the ultimate meditation, which is to be mindful in the midst of life. We call that the mindfulness, daily mindfulness meditation. When you can maintain the mind states of awareness or mindfulness in the midst of life, it will enable you to develop a lot of wisdom, understanding. Then your mind become different. It will have very little thinking. Most of the time, it's just aware, attentive, peaceful. We call that mindful state of mind. And when you can use it to develop the wisdom and the meditation, we call it heedfulness. The state of mind that is ever mindful to cultivate.The meditation is taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. You combine these two, it becomes heedfulness. In Pali, it's called Appamada. So this state of mind, which is heedfulness, is very important. When you are heedful, you have a lot of clarity, a lot of understanding, and your mind can transform.It can change your life. It can make you beautiful. So this is a little bit about understanding the advantage or benefits of having this meditative training. Then as you develop the understanding, the wisdom, it will help you to understand life. Then you can improve your life.That's how the real benefits of meditation can finally come about. Understanding life is very important, because if we cannot understand life, we cannot improve our life, we cannot improve ourselves. So if you want to change your life destiny, improve your life for the better, you need to develop this type of meditation.So that you can understand clearly who are you, what are you, and what are you subject to as you go through life. Then you will start to understand through the teaching all of the important nature's law that governs life and existence. Then if we can live in accordance with this law, then our life will become different. We will become beautiful.That's how the teaching of the Buddha comes about. After he discovered this law, we call it the nature's law, Pancha Niyamas, the five great order of nature. The first two are scientific law. The Buddha called it Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. Uttu means nature's physical law, the physical law of nature. Then Bija Niyama isBiological order or nature's biological law. All of biological things follow this law. All of physical things follow the other law. Then the other three, which the Buddha discovered, are very powerful. They are spiritual laws. The first one is karma niyama. He called the law of karma. Niyama is the law. Karma niyama is law of karma. Then the second one is law of the mind. Chitta niyama. Chitta is mind. The last one is dhamma niyama. Dhamma is true. Nature is true. All of reality and truth within nature. So all of the teaching that the Buddha come up with are nature's truth. That's why this teaching is very unique. And when you understand them, like the scientists, you will progress very well and very far into the spiritual field. Then you can understand very, very clearly all things related to the spiritual world. So this is basically a summary of what this beautiful teaching is all about. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Then after that, we can start our formal sharing. Page 6, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinoheti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahoneyo Dakiniyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuterang Punyaketang Kasati Sadu Sadu Sadu. Okay, let us be respectful, Bhaja. Badang Pajami Damang Pajami Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Just maintain some form of attention. And I had got the short notes printed. Okay. We will distribute these short notes to you. Okay, Tuesday class. Can someone come forward? Maybe two of you come forward and help distribute. Put it, split into two. Split into two. Or three better, faster. These are the short notes that we had prepared for you based on last Tuesday sharing. So we will read through it. Then after that, we only continue with our main topic, which is the Buddha and his teaching. Okay. No, I have it already. Original is here. Thank you. So we would like to thank Sister Yun Chan, I think. This one is prepared by Yun Chan. The draft. And also Sister Man Yuan. She did the Sunday class. Then the other person is Pon Chi, who did the Thursday class, short note and synopsis, so that you all can recall what we discussed. This may not be everything, but at least it highlights to you the thing that we have gone through. Then you can go back and listen again. You will have more understanding, deeper understanding. Then not to forget Sister Padmasuri for helping us to photostat all this. Although we use Kayanamita, it's very kind of her to get all this done up, staple, and be given to all of you. So now I will take you to the short notes summary for our last Tuesday class, dated 9 January 2018. So today 16 is 1 week later. Before I start, did you all observe something? Today the garland is very beautiful, especially the Buddha garland and the Kuan Yin's garland. Is it brilliant? Jin Hao Ra, we rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Just now when I was paying respect, I said, how come today the garland is so different? So when you are in a spiritual class, if you are mindful, if you are observant, you can see many things. Then that mindfulness is the silent mind. And I have to explain a little bit about this so that you all can understand better. You see, mindfulness is a state of mind when your mind is just silent without thought. When it is silent without thought, it can be aware. It is sensitive. As compared to a mind that is heedless. Heedless means it thinks a lot. So when you think a lot, what happened to you? You are preoccupied with those thinking, isn't it? Correct or not? So when you are preoccupied with those thinking, you cannot be aware. That's why you are not sensitive. Then most of the time before you are enlightened, all this thinking is useless thinking. They call it the wrong thought. You normally think about your problems, isn't it? Yeah? Or you think about whatever that intrigue you, yeah? Or is of concern to you. Then sometimes maybe you give meaning to it. Then most of the time it's kepo one. Huh? Those who know Hokkien, kepo means like in Cantonese what you call. Busybody, yeah, but Cantonese what you call? Houpat lah. So like sometimes you hear people say something or discuss something, for no reason, you go and take that topic and also think. You realize or not? Like you are in a coffee shop as you eat, most of the time you are busy thinking. Sometimes you are not mindful of what you do also. In fact, most people are like that. Then when somebody at the side speaks something that I don't call it interest you, because you like to listen to that type of thing. So you listen. And normally it's people's complaint, or people's discussion of maybe the news, the latest or what. Then you saw something funny. You will take all this and think. Then later on you meet your friend, you will tell your friend, or you come home, you will talk to your spouse, your children, hey, just now when I was there having breakfast, having. So most of the time you are not mindful. All this is going on. But sometimes when you are mindful and aware, you are sensitive, you can still listen, no problem. But you listen without holding on, without even allowing the mind to, like last time, dwell in it. Because when you are preoccupied with those thinking in your thought, you are not sensitive, you cannot be aware, and you cannot understand many things that is going on. That's why this mind state, which they call mindfulness, is a very important mind state that the Buddha taught to the world. When you are mindful, you have clarity, you are sensitive, you are aware. When I say sensitive, it's the positive sense, not the negative sense. Negative sense, most people take it to mean he's a very sensitive person. Means you say a little bit only you get angry. Not that type. Sensitive means you are very mindful, you are very sensitive. When people are not feeling good, you can feel it. Especially doctor, they can feel. The patient come in, they know this patient got what problem. Means they are sensitive. But that one mostly is from experience and all things. But later on when you become mindful, when your mind state is sensitive because you are mindful, you don't need experience to understand why a person is not feeling well or feeling good or when he is not happy. Especially when they are in a sad mood or sad state of mind, you can feel them. If you are sensitive, you are silent, you can feel them. Sometimes it's the vibration that they radiate. Then sometimes you can see it showing up in his facial expression. Then the other one is not exactly the outward facial, no. It's deep inside. You can feel it, you can sense that this person has a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. But for most people, you have to see a very obvious one only, you know. But for meditator, cultivator, they can feel you. Sometimes you can play poker face, but they can feel you. They know you are not happy. They know you got problem. Then when you are heedless thinking, they also know you are not aware, you are not attentive. So mind state is very important. If you don't have this ability to be mindful, to be aware, you cannot cut off the heedless thinking, the wrong thought, the frivolous thought, the chattering mind. the verbalization, huh? This two, the mind inside, they like to verbalize. Verbalize means no word come out, no, but inside they're chattering, talking. And this is a sign of a disturbed mind, habitually thinking, commenting, reacting, then recalling from memory all those whatever that you have accumulated. So when there is condition, you see something, you relate, the memory come out. Or you hear something, relate to it, the memory come out. And this is how human beings function heedlessly. That's why they think a lot. They are restless. Their minds are seldom peaceful. And to them, to have a moment of silence is very difficult. If you don't believe me, you go back and check. Can you maintain without thought for even 5 seconds? You come back and tell me the next class. I ask many classmates. They say 1 second also they cannot stop thinking. They say, how can you stop thought? I say, I didn't ask you to stop thought. What I'm asking you to do is to understand that thought that are not necessary need not arise. It's like you read newspaper. How much of the news you think is relevant or useful? Less than 10%, isn't it? Most of it is pakwa saman, or not important news. So in life, it's the same. A lot of thought that human beings arise are heedless thinking, wrong thought. They are not necessary for you because it bring about suffering, bring about stress, and it take up a lot of energy. Do you know mental thinking take up a lot of energy? Those who have gone through enough life experience, they will know. Even as a student, I know. When I study for exam, I use a lot of mental energy. And I eat a lot, no? As you all know, last time, UM, we got this chop fun thing. Ka fun also not enough. Then I never put on weight, no? Very skinny. But after exam over, come out to work, wow, your weight go out very fast. But my body is very good. It got 3 phases of weight increase. One is after form 5, form 6. That time I was so skinny, you don't believe. I was less than 100 pounds, 94 pounds. Then I went to MU. Wow, the food there, first college, very good. I had this food and I exercised. My weight shot up to 108 pounds, not kilo, pounds. Stay there until I graduate. Then after I graduate, within 3 months, I shoot up to 130 pounds. Then I maintain until recently. Recently is still about 130. So these are the 3 phases of weight increase. So our body, we have to have the understanding. If we are sensitive, we are mindful, we will know what is happening. Then which part not right, we will know. But of course, you need to consult doctor. You better consult doctor. Don't play your own doctor. But if you have mindfulness, you tend to be aware. And you know which part inside your body. You can feel them, even inside your brain, you can feel them. Inside your body, your heart area, all the vibration and movement within, because you are sensitive. You can only be sensitive when you are silent. Do you understand that? When you are silent, you are sensitive. How many of you don't understand that? Oh, nobody put up hands, so no need to explain. You tell me. Or I ask the other way around. How many of you cannot understand when you are silent, you are sensitive? What is happening? Both sides also, no hand raised up. Whether you understand, Yeah, that's why you put up your hand, then I explain. See, to be sensitive, you must be silent means when you want to feel something, let's say the floor, the floor. You want to feel whether it's hot or cold. What must you do? You must silence everything and send your awareness down to your hand area there. And then, that hot, cold, or whatever sensation will be very clear. But as you think, you put your hand, no use on it. Because you are not sensitive. Do you understand? Then at night, when you want to listen to something or you want to be aware of certain noise or vibration, what do? You silence all your senses and your thinking. Do you experience that? Then you try to be aware. Of course, you say you try to listen, means you put your attention at your hearing organ. Then you silence everything and just maintain that organ to listen. Then you are sensitive. So sensitivity comes from the mind that is not heedlessly thinking and lost in thought. So when you maintain silence, you are very, very sensitive. You are aware. So awareness is very simple. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Like you pay respect. Body and mind move as one. You are already aware. When you walk, your mind and your body move as one. You are already aware. No thinking. So the daily mindfulness is to anchor your mind into phenomena. Can be physical, mental or nature's phenomena. We call it specific phenomena awareness. The mind and the phenomena move as one without thought. That type of training is not easy, but can be done. If you can do it, you become beautiful. Yeah. So with that explanation, we go to the notes, then you can understand. Huh? Okay. Hui Rong, you have to be patient a bit. I have to finish this part before I pass back to you. Oh, you don't have. Anybody don't have the notes? You can collect in front here. Huh? Okay, short note summary for Brother Teo's Tuesday class, Dhamma Sharing, dated 9 January 2018. So session 1 is puja and meditation. So puja, as you all know, is devotional practice. Or we call it Buddhist puja, Buddhist devotional practice. Means we practice devotion. We devote our life to the Buddha and his teaching so that we can learn from this very, very unique and very special being. You can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever born. That's why he is called the Sammasambuddha, fully enlightened one. He's not only enlightened, he has perfected all of his wisdom and virtue and become the fully enlightened one. So such a being is very difficult to come by. And he said he is not God or anybody. He is just an ordinary human being like us. Then he started his cultivation, developed his wisdom, virtue and understanding. Then over a great period of cultivation, we call it aeons or world cycles. It took him almost 4 world cycles to complete his cultivation, his perfection to be Sammasambuddha. But don't worry, to become enlightened, one life is more than enough. But to become fully enlightened take a long time. So that one is another phase of cultivation. But to develop this wisdom, this teaching, this understanding and become enlightened is not difficult. One life is more than enough. Okay. So this puja thing, devotional practice, is very useful. It helps you build up many important spiritual mind states. The first main benefits or the main purpose of puja chanting is to develop the following. To cultivate the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Like I mentioned just now, when you know who the Buddha is, he is not only enlightened, but he is fully enlightened. And he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. To have such a being as our guide, as our teacher, we should have a lot of gratitude, respect and faith in him. We don't have to believe what he say. We can investigate and find out. Then when we understand, we have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. That's why all faith in Him become unshakable. And this faith will drive you to cultivate His teaching. That's why you will develop the second spiritual faculty. From faith, you develop virya. Virya is a type of spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity to learn His teaching, to develop the meditation, to go the way of Dhamma, to cultivate His teaching. So the second benefit is we can cultivate spiritual zeal or virya or spiritual tenacity to learn His teaching. The teaching is called Dhamma. After seeing the importance of learning such teaching, because His teaching is very unique. It not only allows you to understand life, it can develop the wisdom to become enlightened so that you don't have to suffer anymore. So this can change your life completely. And you will understand what life is. Means not only while you are here living, you will also understand what death is. Yeah. What is death? Who die? What die? And what is dying? And when you understand, you will know no one die, nothing die. Then later on, the teaching teach you many things. Then you will also have the special knowledge or understanding that you develop through His teaching, His meditation, to insight into phenomena and to awaken to the universal characteristics of nature. There are three very powerful universal characteristics of nature. After the Buddha realized, he proclaimed to the world, he said, all of phenomena within our universe, whether it's physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit this universal characteristic. The first universal characteristic is impermanent, he said. Because all these phenomena, they are dependent originating, condition arising. That's why dependent on condition it arises. And when condition changes, it changes. When condition ceases, it ceases. Because of that, it is in a state of flux, ever changing, ever moving. That's why it's called impermanence. It cannot stay the same all the time. Like this body, it cannot stay forever young. Don't get sick and don't die. Even this table that we see in front, or the floor of the building, it appears like very solid, very permanent. But as a science student, we know the cells, the vibration, the what they call formation of all these elements, they have their atoms. And within the atoms, there are nucleus, electron, all the forces of nature that bond them together. So these are trapped energy in solid state. They are vibrating. Like anything is vibrating non-stop. So like water finds its own potential. The electricity also, they will flow. That's why lightning strike, it will need to be grounded. And all these things are part of nature. And you look around, there is nothing eternally permanent within this universe, within our conditioned world. Everything is in a state of flux, impermanent. Follow condition. It flows. So this universal characteristic will tell you there is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity that we can call this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No such thing. Because they are impermanent, they are never yours. Dependent on condition, they come. Dependent on condition, they exist, sustain itself. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. It's just like this body, the Buddha said, it's of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. That's like the four-phase cycle. The moment we are born, we go through the growth phase because of the growth hormone. then we start to plateau. That word plateau is not really true because it's for a while. After that, you go downhill. Go downhill means getting old. Then as you get old, your senses fail you. You get sick. Then finally, when conditions cease to be, your heartbeat cannot pump, or your physical organs are destroyed. Your life force no more. What happens is consciousness has to leave the body, and you say die. Who die? What die? When you meditate, you will understand. Nothing die. Consciousness will continue, but they will cease. They will leave your body, and that one is not really what you think you are. Mm. That's why in the Buddhist song, you sing that song. Only consciousness shall pass by. There is no death. So when you understand that the consciousness that is trapped in the human body, that one is mind. The mind state is energy, nothing else. Your memory, your consciousness, your content of consciousness that you accumulated since birth until now as memory. So your content of consciousness carry all these memories. These are your views, opinion, your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your phobia, your anxiety. Whatever that you accumulate, your good and bad moment. That's why they say, whatever you accumulate into your memory are your experiences in life, good and bad. And this is what mold you. That's why you are a bundle of memory with the views, opinion, and condition. And this is what your mind state is, the content within. And from there, you function. So if you act according to memory, you are not acting at all. Well, most of it is your fear, your delusion, your insecurity, your phobia, all those things. Then your views, your opinion, your condition. So from there you act. You are not acting at all. You are not using your wisdom, your understanding to act. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. This is what the teaching is telling us. J. Krishnamurti also came to know that. So the Buddha said we have to act with understanding, wisdom, which he called Noble Eightfold Path. When you have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path factor, you are enlightened being. Well, you are very noble in all aspects of life. You are very noble in your understanding of life. You have wisdom, you have understanding. Then you are very noble in the way you conduct yourself. You have right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And you constantly arise the right effort to make yourself better, improve yourself. So this four right effort to constantly improve yourself is very important. Then you develop right mindfulness and right samadhi, the mind that is collected and unwavering, constantly aware, mindful, heedful, sensitive. So this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. You become enlightened being means you become noble ones. Noble ones are living beings that are very noble in all aspects of life. Like just now I explained, you not only understand life, you are very noble in all aspects of life. Means how you communicate with people, how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself. You have good, beautiful conduct, of right conduct, of good conduct. Then you know your duty very well because you understand the law of karma. You will not simply do things. You will take care of karma. So they are of wise conduct. Then they do their duty very well, of dutiful conduct. So these are the four characteristics of an enlightened being, of good conduct, beautiful conduct, or wise conduct, upright conduct, and dutiful conduct. They do their duty. Then after that, their mind are very well trained. That's why they can see things as they are. They can insight into phenomena, develop the understanding. Then they can become awakened or enlightened. Then they will live the beautiful life of an enlightened being. They get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful, no more the usual problematic aspect of life, because once they understand, their mind is free, completely free, no more suffering, no more even the slightest unhappiness, no more fear, no more worry, no more, all this like straight away disappear from their mind ground. It cannot arise, cannot stay there. And all these are possible because they have that understanding or wisdom born of this meditative training. Then the third one is you are able to develop mindfulness and cultivate wholesomeness like generosity, paying respect to great beings, and rejoicing. When we say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu is rejoicing. In the goodness, kindness, and generosity of others as we do our puja, means during puja. Then you can exercise mindfulness where you can be aware of how people pass the offering to you and how you hold it and rejoice, then how you pass it forward. All this you have to be mindful. Then as you attend the class, develop the meditation, you are mindful. As you bow, you are mindful. As you listen, you are aware, mindful. So exercise your mind to develop mindfulness. Well, this is the most important quality. The Buddha said, the moment you can be mindful, you are destined for enlightenment. You will not be heedless anymore. You will be heedful. Then number four is, we renew our precept as we chant. Then we also take refuge in the Triple Gem. So for those who are new, you can go back and read the English translation next to the Pali chanting that we chant. You read, you will understand. If you cannot understand, you can ask the next time when you come for the class. The first one is salutation to the Buddha, because there are 10 meritorious actions that living beings can do. These are spiritual wealth, spiritual money. So keeping precept, the 5 precepts, is a meritorious deed. Meritorious action. It brings forth a lot of virtue in you, a lot of spiritual merits in you. Because when you keep precept, you don't harm people, then you protect yourself from evil karma, negative karma. So this is a very virtuous action. That's why keeping precept is a meritorious action. Then paying respect to great beings, the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, the enlightened one, the worthy ones, then respecting elders and all those things. They are meritorious in nature. We also call it a meritorious action. Then making offering, generosity is a meritorious action. So these are the various type of merits that you can cultivate as you attend this type of class and perform this type of puja. Then rejoicing, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's also a meritorious action. That mind state is very beautiful. You have a lot of joy. It cut away envy and jealousy, which is the opposite of rejoicing. Then when you sit meditation, it's also a meritorious action. When you listen to the sharing, listening to Dhamma is also a meritorious action. Then you straighten your view. That is also a meritorious action. Then you help out in whatever service or community, to the community and to the Dhamma community or to whatever society or what. These are meritorious actions. Then later on we transfer merit, we share merits. These are also meritorious actions. So if you have to calculate them, all the 10 meritorious actions, you will get to partake and perform when you attend such spiritual session or classes. That's why your mind state become very beautiful. Your spiritual wealth increase. and it will change your life. Then you can channel this spiritual wealth or spiritual merits. We call it punyang, punyang. That's why we can invoke power of merits by the power of this merits that we have cultivated. May arise the causes and conditions for us to, you can put it for use in many ways. Maybe to recover from your sadness, or your disease, your sickness, or your karmic negativity. Then the other way that can help you is asking for forgiveness. In life, human beings commit a lot of karmic negativity, not only this life, past life, because we have been born many, many times, billions and billions and billions of times. We have existed for eons and eons and eons. You can never say you never make mistakes unless you are a real, beautiful cultivator. So chances are we must have done certain things in the past. But to know whether you have done them or not, you can look at your life. Because the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So because of that, you check, you will know. Then when you realize something not right is happening to you, first thing you can do is ask for forgiveness. Then immediately repent. You ask for forgiveness from all beings. It's in our chanting book at the back, I think page 17. Page 17 is the five daily contemplation. Page 18. How come you're 16? Ask him for forgiveness, page 18. page 18. Then you can make aspiration. So when you ask for forgiveness, it will help you to break your karmic obstruction so that you are not obstructed, so that you can have the condition and affinity to come into contact with this teaching, to come into contact with people who can help you. Otherwise, the karmic obstruction will obstruct living being. So if you ask for forgiveness, your karmic obstruction will be toned down. Then sometimes dismantle. Then you can have like good condition. And you can learn things very fast. A lot of things will come to you. Then after you have asked for forgiveness, you must determine not to repeat all this in future. And to do that, you vow to follow the nature's law, or live life in accordance with nature's law, which is the advice of the Buddha based on the law of karma. The Buddha say we have to avoid all evil to take care of karma. We have to develop goodness, wholesomeness to improve our karma. Then we have to purify our mind to develop wisdom so that we understand life clearly, so that we need not suffer. So when we do that, when we follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, the good, and purify the mind, this is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. And this is developing meditation. And this is the highest spiritual wealth that you can get. You can stick to that advice. Then you will become beautiful. That's why I ask for forgiveness. Then after that, determine not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha. And when you do that, you are worthy of the Buddha. Then you can call yourself a true disciple of the Buddha, or a Buddhist, to be worthy of that labor. Otherwise, you are not worthy. You say you are Buddhist, but you don't know the teaching. The worst is, you say you are Buddhist, you think you know the teaching, but you never practice, you never follow. So that is the worst. So to me, the religious labor is not important. If you understand, you are a true Buddhist. If you don't understand, the labor will not help you. So similar for other type of religion. Then we move on. You can cultivate or develop mindfulness and cultivate wholesomeness like generosity, paying respect to great beings and rejoicing in the goodness, kindness and generosity of others while performing puja. Number four, so we have gone through. we can renew our precept and take refuge in the Triple Gem. This is our meritorious. And when you take refuge in the Triple Gem, means the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. It's only within this Triple Gem the teaching is there. That's why when you take refuge, means you create affinity with the Triple Gem. Because you go to the Triple Gem for refuge. It is refuge safe because within that gem, the teaching is there. So every life when you arise, whenever there is this Sammasambuddha or the teaching or the enlightened disciple or the Buddha are around, because you take refuge, you will have the affinity and the condition to connect to them. Then number six is, puja can help us calm and compose our mind to develop the faith and the understanding, means wisdom. Then 1.2 is the meditation part that we have to offer. You all may not, we have covered so much, but you go through, you will know. This is only a short note part of it, not the full thing, but it's already so much. First is to understand the main purpose of meditation. The main purpose of meditation is to train the heedless thinking mind. Just now I mentioned, you think you cannot stop it. It is heedless. Means you cannot control. The thought comes by itself. Because of your habitual tendency, your delusion, your lack of understanding. So the main purpose of meditation is to train this heedless thinking mind so that it can be peaceful, calm, and aware within. When it's calm and aware within, it becomes the silent mind. To see things clearly, or see things as they are, to develop the wisdom, to liberate our mind. So this is very important. Then the important meditative instruction was given to us to help yogi understand what they are doing in the name of meditation. So like what we went through, I explained why you do the mind sweeping method, why you train your mind in anapanasati to stabilize the mindfulness. Then when we do the mind sweeping method and the loving kindness, we combine them is because we want to decondition the heedless thinking so that it does not think, so that it is calm, peaceful, and just aware. Because the mind sweeping method is just feel relaxed, doesn't think anymore. If you do that for 10 minutes or so, your heedless thinking will stop. Because this is a new way of living. It deconditions the heedless thinking. It doesn't think anymore. It just feel, relax. And after some time, your mind becomes quiet by itself because it doesn't think anymore. Then when you radiate loving kindness, it brings about love, which is a very important mind state, very positive vibration and energy. It can help to improve your immune system. This inner well-being is very important. When you radiate love, you radiate to your own body and mind initially. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel this well-being and happiness within you. So, mind sweeping method bring about inner peace. Metta or loving kindness bring about inner well-being. So inner peace combined with inner well-being gives you a very positive mental state, mind energy, that can strengthen your immune system and make you calm, make you peaceful. And it can do away with your fear, your restlessness, your unhappy mind state. Then you can dwell on peace. You can dwell on well-being. Then you extend this love to all beings. You open up your heart. Starting with yourself, then your loved one, then all beings, your neighbor, your whatever office colleague, family members, then extending to the whole of PJ, Slango, then the galaxy, our solar system, our Milky Way, then the whole universe. You can do that every day. Once a day is good enough. This mind state become very different. You will accumulate a lot of metta, which is loving kindness. Then you become very loving, very kind to people. Then when you see people, inside quietly, you already love. May you be well and happy. You really feel it. You already the type of love, metta to people. And when you have the ability to do it, I can tell you, people feel you. People will smile back to you. Then sometimes they will feel that there is something very funny. Well, I try it during the early days. At first I read it until this metta becomes so powerful, so strong. Then one day I was just walking by. As usual, I read it love. I didn't look at this person or what as I read it. Then the person also didn't know. Then you know what happened? As he passed me, he felt something very good in his heart. Then he turned around and he looked at me. After he has passed me, then I smiled. He also smiled. Then he feels something strange and he continued to walk. Then later when I read this, the dog, very fierce dog, very big size. When I was in Australia, I was doing my morning meditation. I read love to all the nature, plants, the tree, the beings and all those things. And that time my metta was very powerful. So this Australian guy, he was taking this dog, very big size dog, I don't know what dog you call it, for a walk. That dog can feel my loving kindness and metta. He struggled and went off that Australian guy. He was holding on to the stripe that hold the dog. The dog went off. So this Australian guy was caught by surprise. Then he looked at the direction that dog was running to, was towards me. So he thought the dog was trying to attack me. So he panicked and he ran after the dog. But the dog was very fast. Then I can feel. From far, I already knew what happened. Then as I saw the dog coming, because the metta was there, I saw the fur all coming out. Then the most beautiful sight, the tail start to wag. When the tail start to wag, I know already, this dog can feel the metta. He was full of joy, this dog. So huge, as tall as me. And when he came, I say, sadhu to you, I rejoice. I say, and that dog understand. Then the Australian guy came. Then he looked at me. He said, who are you? I thought my dog was attacking you. I said, don't worry, it's a good dog. I said, very good dog. Then after that, he wanted to pull the dog away. The dog refused to move. Still there with all the fur and the excitement, the joy. Inside. You can feel, the dog can feel. Yeah? They are not like human being. Human being think a lot. You are not sensitive. You are talking to yourself. Most of them are moody, sad. But if you are silent, like animal, not so cunning, less thought, especially those breed of animal that are very alert, sensitive, they can feel your metta, and they really come. So those were the few incidents where I experienced how it can affect the world. Then you can feel the joy of nature, within nature, all this non-human. They are very happy. That's why you are sensitive. All these are possible when you have the ability to train your mind. Your mind is very beautiful and very exceptional. That's why you must train it correctly and reverse the habitual tendency of heedless thinking. Most human beings are caught in their own thought process. That's why they become very sad, very unhappy. Yeah, they think of their problem. They worry about. And they are seldom peaceful, seldom silent, seldom aware. If you are seldom silent, seldom aware, and peaceful, you are not in a meditative state. You are lost in thought, heedless, thinking, worrying. So the saying used to go, human beings, they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so they never get to live life. You agree or not? Yeah? You can relate or not? They think a lot, isn't it? That's why I say they are too busy thinking. Then they plan a lot, isn't it? Then they worry a lot, isn't it? So much so they never get to live life. If you truly live life, you can be with the moment full of peace, full of joy, full of happiness. to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life that your senses is able to let you have it. Every moment of seeing is so beautiful, so pristine. Hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought process, everything is so beautiful. And when you are mindful, that is what life is all about. You can be with the moment, experiencing all this pristine beauty and wonders of life. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful. You don't carry along with you all the psychological scars of memory, the unhappy mistake, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your problem, your health problem, your career problem, your children's problem, your financial problem, your relationship problem, and all the related problem of life. So all this, you need not carry them. You understand them and you use them for the good of the many, beautifully. So this is what benefits of meditation and this teaching can bring about. Then we go on. The third point on meditation. Always remember to relax body and mind. When you meditate, always remember, relax. To experience the silence and peacefulness. So meditation is easy. Relax, silent, then experience the peace within. Then just feel with the silent mind and relax. No need to do anything. Just feel whatever sensation that arises, whatever mind state that arises. Just feel, be with it. Don't have to react to it. Silent. Enjoy. Then the next one is, the purpose of mind supreme matter is to decondition the heedless thinking. This one I have explained. Then combine with metta to bring about inner peace and inner well-being, positive energy field. Then this one can help boost your immune system. And anapanasati training is to stabilize the sati or silent mind. Then a well-trained mind listens to you and can serve you well. Mind can experience piti, the spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. Sukha is spiritual bliss, blissfulness of mind. Then tranquility is the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind. Then stillness is paucity. Then what are methods, technique, and object of meditation for? They are only skillful means to train the mind to be in sati and to be in a state of heedfulness. One only need to train the mind when the spiritual faculties are not stable yet. Now, all these are explained. Without the spiritual faculty, the opposite five mental hindrances will be there to make one heedless and think a lot. Reason why these people need method and technique and object of meditation to anchor their mind so that it does not wander off and become heedless. If you do this type of meditative training, we are using relaxing and silencing your mind. Your mindfulness can become very sensitive and it can even detect your heartbeat or pounding of your heart without the need of a stethoscope. Then as you silence your mind and relax into it more and more, the pounding will slow down. Then you move your attention back to your chest or heart area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness resides and how you become conscious. It is from there it arises. This is also where your heartbeat is. Your life force pumps your heartbeat. Your life force comes from your supportive karma or karmic force that you inherit. If this supportive karma or life force energy does not come, then your heart will stop. It will not beat. Human being say, you die. Oh, there were 3 pages. Wow, so much. Now my... Try. Maybe not enough time for you. Never mind, we see how it goes. So we have to silence our mind and just feel our heart area. Feel it soothingly relax and silence everything. If you can detect whatever vibration or your heartbeat, you just silence everything and stay there. to develop the stability of your silent mind. So this is training your silent mind to be very stable. If you do this type of meditation or meditative training, normally as doctors, they need the stethoscope to magnify the heartbeat pulse so that they can feel it. But if you can meditate to be mindful and very aware, you don't need any stethoscope. You can just relax and silence your mind. Then you can feel and be aware of your own heartbeat very clearly, including its pounding, etc. Then as you silence your mind more and more, the pounding will slow down accordingly until it becomes very quiet and very still. Then you don't need to do anything, but just stay there and silence everything to meditate, because this is a silent mind, which is also the meditative mind. Then the next one is continuous mindfulness leading to absorption of mind. This one you have to listen. These are only the short title. Then Upachara Samadhi and Apana Samadhi. Upachara Samadhi is the excess concentration before you go into absorption Samadhi. Apana Samadhi. Apana Samadhi is absorption Samadhi or fixation Samadhi. You are locked into it. Then there is a preliminary Samadhi. That one is moment to moment, which is much more weaker, unless you can maintain the continuity. Then relax into every mind state that arises and let the mind return to its original state of stillness, tranquility and silence. So always remember, your true mind before it stir or become agitated was already peaceful, silent and just aware. So if you don't do anything, you let the thought, the heedless thinking settle down, it will return to its original mind state of inner peace, inner calmness, inner silence and inner stillness. And this is what meditation is all about. Learn to be aware, relax, don't do anything. Then that mind state will come back to you. Session 2, Dhamma sharing. The Dhamma sharing proper and Q&A. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness that you have developed through this meditative training. You need to make use of this trained mind state to live your life. Then your life will change. Your life will become very different. You can have this type of mind which is always peaceful, calm, with very little or no thinking, constantly aware and sensitive to life, sensitive to your inner thought movements, your emotion and everything else. Then you will become very beautiful. You will understand many things. Then you will have no problem, because the slightest movement of your mind towards the two extremes, the duality, you can feel it straight away. We call this mind the trained thinking mind, or worldly or mundane mind. Once it's trained, it listens to you, it becomes very different. There are two aspects of mind. This one you have to understand. One is your true mind, the silent mind, that can be aware and can understand many things. And the other one is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the worldly mind, that thinks a lot and creates a lot of problems and emotion for us because of our lack of understanding. But the moment we understand, this thinking mind becomes different. It understands and it can be trained. And when it is trained, it becomes very quiet and still, which means previously it does what it likes, but now it listens to you and it can serve you just like a trained dog. In a similar way, if you train your mind, it will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, peaceful, it will just do that. You want it to be relaxed, at ease, and do whatever you want it to do, it will just obey you. So this mind will serve you well, be a very good servant to you. Meditation is to learn to transform this heedless thinking mind that is full of wrong view and delusion into a mind that has the clarity, the wisdom and the understanding not to be deceived. by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you tactile feel and think. This is what the Buddha called wisdom or understanding. When you understand, you are no longer foolish. You won't get yourself into trouble anymore. The most important thing one need to do is to meditate to understand clearly what is life all about. All of nature's law that governs all of life and existence need to be understood first. When we understand this law, it's like we understand the secret of life. Then we will know how to live in accordance with this law. Importance of understanding the law of karma, moral causation, to realize the importance of taking care of karma and how we are taking care of karma, one can improve and transform one's life. If you take care of karma, karma will take care of your life. Various types of suffering or dukkha caused by the eight realities of life and existence when one confronts them without proper understanding. So this one, you have to listen to the whole tape, because this one is a short note. Cause of suffering is due to one's attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind via one's delusion, self-delusion. Nature is always give and give. Nature is full of love and compassion. This one you need to listen more. Because that day we elaborated a lot. This is only the heading. You can listen to the recording. You should appreciate, have gratitude, and cherish what nature has given to mankind. Man and nature must harmonize because we come from nature. And we are actually one with nature. If man destroy nature, then nature will destroy the human race. We should live in harmony with nature. Then we will not be faced with much nature's disaster and environmental problems. Understanding the five aggregates of form and mind as taught by the Buddha is two aspects. First aspect as a human being, physical human being, and the second aspect as the five mental aggregates. We are understanding the thought, which is consciousness and its content. To understand the four aggregates of mind, one must inquire, what can your mind do? Our true mind is just spacious awareness when the mundane mind is not or cease to be. When we are without thought, when our views, opinion, and conditioned mind are not interfering with our pure perception, that is your true mind. Thought, which is focused awareness and its content, is limited, narrow, and finite, because it is based on the mundane mind's perception that shrink the true mind's spacious awareness into a finite spot, where the conditioned mind's content of consciousness is inputted or deposited. Enlightened beings act according to understanding and wisdom. They don't discriminate and act according to memory, because acting according to memory is not acting at all. The Buddha's teaching is based on nature's law and it is experiential and very scientific, not based on tradition, superstition, and beliefs. Did anyone suffer from depression during the Buddha's time? That was a question posted. There is no such thing as a problem. If we do not perceive it with fear and negativity, then there is no problem. When we accept what happened as part of life's reality, then we can be at peace. Then our mind will not stir and our thought will not project the fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Then we can have clarity of mind to make better decisions and act with wisdom and understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. We are inquiring further. How can we resolve this issue amicably? And what are our options? How can we resolve issues there and then? We are making good decisions to move on. This body of ours is not a permanent unchanging entity, hence it's not me. It's made up of the four elements that goes the way of nature, subject to old age, sickness, and death. Do not view life through our wrong view, accumulated memories, and delusion. No need to arise the fear and worry, for they will not help us resolve issues amicably.
will instead cause anxiety, fear, leading to depression. It is better to take the necessary steps to address issue via wisdom and accept whatever the outcome. We are doing what needs to be done to take care of karma. Life can be really meaningful and beautiful when we have the Dhamma understanding. One can live life to the fullest, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then finish, yeah? This note, the draft short note for the above was prepared by Sister Hui, yeah? Yuan Chan. Yeah? So we should rejoice. Yeah? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, do you have any question? Yes. No, the short note draft was prepared by you. It's from the draft that I can recall all this. Otherwise, I cannot recall. No, your draft, you may write a lot of things that is like doesn't follow what I write, but it reminds me of what I spoke on the sana. So that one is important because what I need is condition for me to recall. You know, whatever spoken, I cannot recall. But if there's condition, I will recall. That's why there must be condition. So like last time, Miss Lee, yeah? You remember the Heart Sutta short note? The first three, four lessons, her one was worse than yours. Because totally cannot understand what I share. So the words were all wrong. But it's okay. Because at least she tried. After she tried, I start to like slowly guide her. No! You never saw her original draft. All these things came out later. I already told you, the first four lessons was worse than yours. He completely cannot understand what I say, but he picked up certain words, understand not? Yeah, he listened to the recording, then that word that he listened, he spelled wrong also, initially. But he not familiar with the words. So it's okay, because this is good training. What I want all these people to go through is, if you do the transcript, it will help you a lot. Because when I correct it, you understand what the words are. That's why Puan Chi, they are now very good. And even Man Yuan is also quite good. Because they did the transcript earlier on. Then a lot of things that they thought they heard the right word, when they put it into the transcript, when I amended it, they got a shock. Because it was a totally different word with a different meaning also. Like the seat of consciousness. S-E-A-T, you know. Not S-I-T. You know. It resides here. Understand? So first time I gave seat, S-I-T. Then the other one put S-E-E-D. You know what is S-E-E-D? The seat you germinate one. He go and put seat of consciousness. You know. Means the seed that want to become the consciousness. Completely wrong. But never mind. They learn. Understand? So don't worry about your short note. Whatever you can recall or when you listen, the words are very important. You put in a few of these words, then you try your best to explain. Most of the time, like what you went through, you think you know, but you cannot express it out. And it is still not stable. So that's why you check back your draft, your words are like not complete or didn't reflect the true understanding. But it's okay because you have to try it out, express it, then you learn. Then later on you become good. You should read through this again to understand the actual. But this one has been very well prepared. So that it can help a lot of cultivator and meditator. That's why this one, if you go to retreat with this, you save a lot of time. All those last time method technique, nothing all, you can forget about it. You can go direct to the silent meditation, the true mind. You can take it. But this here is explained, the two aspects of mind, the true mind and the mandiva. And this one, a lot of people don't understand.
A lot of Buddhists don't understand. A lot of human beings don't understand. They only know they got one mind, the thinking mind, the monkey mind. That's why a lot of books put the monkey mind, the thinking mind. But very few people talk about the true mind. The book write about true mind, but nobody really explain what the true mind is. Because you need to understand. So all these are the conditions for you all to learn to improve yourself. And this is very useful for you. That's why when I saw your name, volunteer, I rejoice. I say it's about time you learn. Because you every time take for granted, you think you listen, you understand. No. You have to write it out. When you cannot express, means you still don't understand. But initially it's like that, don't worry. And it's good job. I rejoice, really. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then as you go through, you pick up a lot of things. Then when you pick it up, you will straighten your view. Then you will understand deeper. Then the next time you meditate, different. Especially this retreat. Prepare. Read through all these short notes. Prepare yourself. The first three short notes came out all beautiful. The first one, Manjuana, short and concise. Then after that, Ponchi one also very good. Short and concise. Then yours, I need to expand on it because there are so many things spoken. And the condition arises because of Dr. Uyi and B.G. Lee. Because they are new. So I have to repeat a lot of the earlier teaching, which I normally no need to repeat already. Because most of them are here for quite a while already. Then for Dr. Uyi and B.G. Lee, you all were very fortunate because all this is summary. So you save those early years. Well, early years, I cannot teach like that. Well, they are very new. A lot of things they don't understand. If I teach like that, catch no more, they are woke you. Well, in the early year, remember, the five aggregate, the two aspects, took them so long to understand. But that day, the condition was such, I explained everything, even on the whiteboard, the notes there, the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why with this, later on, they can progress very fast. But one thing good is, they don't have any, what they call, previous knowledge of the teaching. You are a clean slate. Your sponge can absorb very fast. You understand? Yeah, you don't have old views and opinion on what this teaching is. These people go to all sorts of teaching. Then initially when they listen, it's like doesn't mesh what they learn. It's like a lot of things opposite of what they learn. So they find it very difficult to accept. And some even tell me, Bro Tio, you mean these are monks? They full time. You mean they also cannot understand all this that you say? I say, I don't know. You can find out yourself. You can ask them. Yeah, this is how I understand it. I'm sharing with you. Then it took them many, many years before they can really understand and come to acceptance of what has been shared. But later on, as they progress, they can see for themselves very clearly. And for the two of you, I think you read through, you understand. Because the best example was it yesterday? Oh, not yesterday, Sunday. This 29 years old one, the Thursday class one, the Eric, he after attending two sessions, he decided to come and see me. He told Suyan he wanted to see me, so he came. You know, after the session, you know what he told me? He was full of joy. This young man, actually, he has his good and bad karma. His karma was because in the past he did certain things. That's why this like he kena back from his parents. Then he, since the year 2000, he told me, he got this big problem. Actually, before that also got problem. The exam and all those things. But we cut it short because people's personal thing better don't relate. So what happened was, he cannot understand how he become like that. He was in depression. for 7 to 8 years. And before that, he got low self-confidence, low self-esteem, a lot of problems. Then everything went wrong. Then he was searching around for people to help. Then he called up all the temples, the churches. Finally, where he stayed, Kotak Kumuning, he get the Buddhist society there. Buddhist society there say they got no monk. He thought monk only can help him. So he called, he cannot find monk. Then he say, which is the nearest? Then they told him Subang Jaya. Then he called Subang Jaya. Then Subang Jaya, a lady answer. He said, yes, we got monk, you can come. So he went. He talked to the monk for 2 hours. After that, he said he still cannot understand. He still has this problem. He still cannot find solution. Then after that, he called again, Subang Jaya. Is there any other monk you can talk to? Then the lady said, you come lah, we see how. So second time he went, he was talking to the girl for 1 hour. After 1 hour, he still cannot understand. Then Sui An walked in. Oh, then this girl, I think he knows Sui An have a lot of you. Oh, you say, Sui An is the right guy to help you. He is an expert. He can help you. So he talked to Sui An. After talking to Sui An, Sui An say, why not you come and attend Brother Teo's Thursday class? Then he came for 2 sessions. And I was sharing all this about the mind, memory, and all this thing. Surprisingly, he can follow. No? Then the first day he came, I remember, I asked you, why do you come for meditation and religious class? He said, I want to be happy. Then I know already. Means he is very unhappy. Otherwise, he won't come. Then another lady said, I want to be peaceful. Yeah. So these are normal things. People search for happiness, search for peace of mind. Then another one say, I want to understand life so that I can live life. Then there's another one got a lot of problem. One is, I want to solve my problem. I got problems in life. I want to resolve my problem. So I say most people come because they have problem. Otherwise they won't come. Then the fourth one, okay, my wife Edin, want to become enlightened, free from suffering, which is the best. So after that, I explained the Four Noble Truths. Then he can follow. He was a clean slate. He got nothing. He never heard of Buddhism before. I asked him, what is your family background? He said, Chinese traditional family, once a year Buddhist. We suck, they only go. Then the mother take him to all the dainty one. He said, bye-bye on. So I laughed. Then I explained. Then the second session was very good. He came and told me what, the second session is it. Brother Teo, do you know the whole 2 hours, everything you explained, I experienced, I went through direct hit. He said, all the suffering, the misery, the negative mind state, how he hold on to that memory, that condition of his fear, his worry, his anxiety, his sorrow. He can relate now. And why memory is hell, he can relate now. When I say memory is the accumulation of experiences, good and bad, then I say his scars of memory, his fear, his phobia, everything was direct hit. Yeah, that was why he couldn't know from his parents. And people who looked down upon him and all those things. Then after he came, that Sunday, we spent, I asked him to come 3:30, he was a bit late. It ended up 7 p.m., almost 4 hours, as long as Dr. Ui and BG, Lee. They also came, 7 something only they left, you ask them. That day they also came about 3. And after I explained the karmic thing, all those things, he straight away understand. He thanked me so much, then he asked me, any books, I said, can go and read. So I gave the book and all those things. Then on the way out, you know what he told me? He thanked me again. He said, Brother Teo, what you explain is very, very simple, but very direct, very clear. I was looking for somebody to tell me my problem. Nobody can tell me. The monk also cannot tell me. He said, they tell me something else. He said, this is what I want to know. What happened to me? And how come I am like that? And the whole thing became so clear. Well, he now understand karma. Oh, he believed strongly karma. And I told Sui An, he is definitely okay already, and he is going to become beautiful. Then I gave him some book about meditation, how to start. He was full of joy. Then he really want to learn, and he learned so fast. That's why I say, clear your memory of all the old or rubbish. Yeah. Start with a clean slate, open mind. Understand? Assume you don't know anything. All the knowledge, put it aside. Not to say throw away, you know. Like computer, RAM. What is RAM? Random access memory. When I need, I access. Understand not? All this memory, your phobia, your scars of memory, your unhappy moments, people abuse you and all those things, all those memory, do you want to carry them? Because this young man carry them. Carry until it become hell. Don't carry means leave it there. You need only access it. Understand not? Then you are free, like a computer without emotion. Understand? No problem, computer. We all want to act. Ayo, how? My mother will not allow. All this memory come back. Your mother warned you before. Understand? Or tell you not to simply make decision and do things. Then sometimes, Mary who also must go back and seek permission. Sometimes objection and all those things. So human being got a lot of this life situation and problem. We better end. 10:30, just now I heard that alarm. So we rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today one, no short note. Yun Chan, no need. You just summarize a little bit. How we go through the short notes. Summarize a little bit. Sure less than one page. We are your suggested one page, but I will say two is just nice. Two will be just nice. One to two. Yeah. So, let us now recall to mind all of the things that we have developed. Our marital section, our wholesomeness. We have developed a lot of understanding, rejoicing. Then we shall share this marriage with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Buddha, Guanyin and all the worthy ones. Then we end.